I want you to take your Bibles today and open them with me to the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be speaking on this subject, a portrait of Jesus Christ. A portrait of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe if you'll listen carefully to me and hear me all the way through the message, don't turn me off now. Stay with me through the entire message, and I believe you'll learn something. I believe this will be a profitable time together. Now, artists and sculptors have tried for centuries to paint pictures and make statues of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are literally millions of these paintings and statues and crucifixes and pictures of Jesus Christ in homes, in churches, schools, stores all over the country. It may be that you have one of these pictures in your home. But I'm going to tell you something. Now you listen to me. I strongly dislike these pictures and these statues of God. And I consider them, according to the Word of God, not only to be idols and idolatrous, but they're dishonoring. These pictures and statues are dishonoring to our Lord. Now, I'm going to give you two reasons for that. I strongly dislike these pictures of God, pictures of Christ, statues and crucifixes, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you two reasons. The first reason is the plain and direct commandment of our God to Israel over in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Verse 4 and 5. Now listen to the Word of God. God speaking to Israel. He says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, any graven image, or any likeness," that is, pictures or statues, "any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to these images." And these statues and these pictures, that's a direct commandment of God. And when our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the woman at the well, he said this in John 4:24, God is spirit. God's not a statue. God's not a picture. God is spirit. And they that worship God worship him in spirit and truth. So I say these statues and these pictures and crucifixes and all these things are a direct rebellion against the commandment of God Almighty when he says, thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not bow down to these things. And the second reason, now listen to this, the second reason why I dislike all these pictures of God and statues of God is here's the reason. It is utterly and totally impossible to put on canvas or to put on paper or in a cold marble statue anything that even remotely resembles the unspeakable, indescribable glory of the person of our God. I ask you, how in the name of reason can you paint one whom you've never seen? How can you paint one whom you've never seen? How can you paint the express image of his glorious person on a canvas? How can you paint the brightness of his glory? How can you paint the one on canvas upon whom Moses could not even look and still live? The one of whom the Scripture says the heavens cannot contain. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Now, I'll assign a task to all would-be revelators of God, all who would paint pictures of God and chisel statues of God. I'll assign you a task. Listen to this. Draw me a picture or make me a statue of the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters when he created all things. And Jesus Christ is the Creator. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Then draw me a picture of Melchizedek, King of Peace, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who appeared to Abraham and blessed him. What did he look like? Draw me a picture of I am that I am. You remember when Moses stood by the burning bush and God spoke to him? And he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am that I am." Draw me a picture of him. Or paint me a picture of the Shekinah glory that dwelt on the mercy seat. That's Christ Jesus. Or draw me a picture of the Son of Man who walked with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw me a picture of Jacob's ladder, of the rock in the wilderness that followed them, of the pillar of fire or the cloud by day. Draw me a picture of the angel of the Lord that wrestled with Jacob. Draw me a picture of the glorified Christ. You remember when he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with his disciples and the Scripture said his very clothes glistened with brightness? Can you get that on canvas? Draw me a picture of the suffering Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary in all of his agony, enduring all of our guilt and shame and sin, from whom even the Heavenly Father turned away. Can you put that on canvas? Draw me a picture of the risen Lord, our great priest, as he appeared in heaven to make atonement for his people. How he ministered, not in the earthly tabernacle made with hands, but in heaven itself. He entered into heaven itself there to make an atonement for our souls. Can you catch that on canvas? Draw me a picture of the interceding advocate. John said, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, the Majesty in glory, who ever liveth to make intercession for us." Can you catch that on canvas? Draw me a picture of the glorious Christ whom Paul met on the road to Damascus. When he looked into that awesome light and was blinded, he was stricken stone blind when he spoke to and observed the Lord of glory. Now, my friends, until you can capture on canvas or a painting or a picture or a statue that Lord and that glorious Redeemer, then lay down your brush and put up your canvas and do what all have done who have some revelation of His Majesty. Fall on your face and worship Him. Or like Moses of old, hide in the rock when he passes by. Or like Job of old, Job said, "I've heard of your God by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I put my hand on my mouth and I will not speak again." Cover your face. You remember when Isaiah saw the Lord? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train, his glory filled the temple, seated on his throne, and the seraphims around the throne of God with six wings, and with two they covered their eyes. They covered their faces. They covered their feet, and with two they did fly, and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." Can you put that on a piece of paper? Or fall at his feet with Thomas. When he identified himself with Thomas, Thomas cried, "My Lord and my God." Admit the impossibility of reporting what you have seen, like Paul, who was taken to the third heaven and came back and he said, "I heard things it's not possible for me to even tell you. We don't have the language to express the glory of God, and we don't have the picture, and we don't have the painting, and we don't have the statue, and we don't have anything that these human hands and minds can bring together to picture the glory of Christ Jesus and the glory of God Almighty." Or like John there in that scripture we're going to look at now in Revelation chapter 1, or like John on the Isle of Patmos. You know what John said when he saw the Lord? "I fell at his feet as a dead man." as a dead man. So, my friends, I'm telling you this. These pictures and crucifixes and statues, number one, they violate a direct commandment of God Almighty. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above. And thou shalt not bow down to them. God is a spirit. And they that worship the living God worship him in spirit and in truth. And these things are dishonoring to Christ. Because there's no way that you can confine to a painting, a picture, a statue, or any portrayal on paper, the glory, the indescribable, unspeakable glory of God Almighty. Here in Revelation 1, take your Bibles and let me show you a portrait of Christ. That's what this is here. John in verse 9. Look at Revelation 1, verse 9. And John is writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I, John, who am also your brother. In other words, he's saying, I'm a man just like you are. I'm a person. I'm a man. And I'm your companion in tribulation. I've suffered like you suffered. I've gone through trials and suffering and all of these things like you have. I was on the Isle of Patmos for preaching the Word of God, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was, because he preached the truth of God, the testimony of God, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And there he lived to be an old man and died. Someone said over 90 years of age. But here in verse 10, he says this. Now I was in the Spirit of God on the Lord's day. In other words, John was in exile and John was all alone. But on the Lord's day, the day our Lord arose from the grave, he knew that the other believers would be meeting together to preach and to praise God and to break bread. And so he was worshiping God too. I was in the Spirit of the God on the Lord's day. I was worshiping God, meditating upon the things of my God. And I heard a great voice. I heard a great voice. You know, when our God speaks, he speaks of great things. And he speaks of great things in a great way. And John said, I heard a great voice. I think Satan whispers. He whispers subtlety. He whispers in craftiness. But when our God declares a truth, he declares it in a great voice, in a great way. And John said, I heard a voice, a great voice. What did that voice say? Well, verse 11, the voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And our Lord is speaking here, and he's saying, I'm the first and the last, and all in between. I'm the author and finisher of faith. I am all, Alpha to Omega. I'm the whole alphabet. I'm the whole alphabet of the revelation of God. The whole alphabet. All that God has to say to men is said in Christ. And all that God has to give to men is given in Christ. And all that God has purposed to perform in this world, in the universe, in the new heaven and new earth is in Christ. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Chose us in Christ, loved us in Christ, redeemed us in Christ, accepted us in Christ. And one day we'll gather together all things in Christ to the praise and glory of his grace. So this voice said, I'm the beginning and the end. Nothing to be added now. All Alpha and Omega and all in between. So verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake. Now, wouldn't you? Here John is on the Lord's day alone, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he heard this great voice which said, I'm Alpha and Omega, I'm beginning and the end, the first and the last. And he said, I turned to see the voice that spake. And when John turned, he saw the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you want to see a real portrait of Christ? If you'll just throw away those canvas idols and those poor attempts at portraying Almighty God taken from some man's imagination, just throw them away and listen to the Word of God. Here, God reveals Himself. Christ reveals Himself. Here it is. Here it is. Look to John's portrait. Here is what Christ revealed to John that day on the Isle of Patmos. Verse 13. John said, I turned and I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the middle of all those candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Now remember, John was one of the disciples who walked with Christ, the man, on the earth. He leaned on his breast at the Lord's table. He's very familiar with the Christ of the flesh when he was here on this earth. But here now John is seeing the risen, glorified Christ who appears to him and speaks to him, Christ now, Christ now. And he said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Now, what are these candlesticks? Well, verse 20 tells us what these candlesticks are. They're His churches. They're His churches, the seven churches. And He's in the midst of His church. Where is Christ? He's in the midst of His church, in the midst of His people. Where two or three are met together, He said, in My name, I'll be in the midst of them. So here the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in the midst of His churches. Now watch Him. He goes on, verse 13. And He was clothed with a garment down to His feet, and He was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. What is this robe with which He's clothed down to the feet? This is the glorious robe of our great high priest. You see, if you take the Old Testament and study the dress of the high priest who wore that robe and who wore that breastplate and had the names of the tribes of Israel on the breastplate when he went into the presence of God. And here our Lord Jesus Christ wears the priestly robe. He is our great high priest. We have a high priest, and it's Christ the Lord. And he has the golden girdle because he's a king priest. The king priest, the awesome king priest. Now watch this. Verse 14, and his head and his hair was white like wool and white as snow. Now, the church in the Song of Solomon, you remember the Song of Solomon? The church there described the Lord Jesus Christ as having his head and his hair bushy black as a raven. But you see, there the church is the bride, and she was rejoicing in the perpetual youth and strength and love and care of her Redeemer. He is perpetually young, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But John here, he's revealed to John as the Ancient of Days, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He's the wisdom of God. White hair speaks of wisdom. White hair speaks of the Ancient of Days. And that's the way he appears to John here, with that kingly robe and that golden girdle and his hair as white as wool, as white as snow, because he is the wisdom of God. He's the Ancient of Days. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. A flame of fire. Now, over in Solomon, again, the church, the bride, describing her lover, she says his eyes were like a dove's eyes washed with milk, gentle and loving. And that's the way she saw him, because he is compassionate, kind, and loving to all of his people. But here John sees the omniscience of our God. His eyes is a flame of fire. He sees things as they are, not as they claim to be. His eyes as a flame of fire burns away all the darkness and burns away the hypocrisy and burns away the sham. And these eyes penetrate the soul and reveal the truth, the omniscience of our God. Like Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know all things. You ever seen a picture like this? And then verse 15, and his feet were like fine brass as if they'd been burned in a furnace. You know, feet have to do with one's walk. And his walk, the walk of Christ, is threefold. He walked through the furnace of wrath, bearing the sins of his people. And then he walks through the furnace of fire with us, just like the children of Israel. You don't go through a trial that Christ is not there. When they looked into the furnace, they saw four, the three children and one like the Son of Man, walking in the flames. And then he'll trample upon his enemies. His feet are as fine brass burned in a furnace. The judgment of our God. And then listen, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. I hear preachers talk about God speaking to them. Is this what he sounded like? His voice as the sound of many waters. Did you ever stand by mighty Niagara Falls? What a great force. What a power. His sound fills the whole area. When our Lord spoke to Paul, the people around him heard it, but they didn't know what he said. But it was the voice of many waters. What a great force that cannot be stopped, cannot be arrested. And his voice in his gospel will accomplish that whereunto he sends it, and that which he pleases, and that which he purposes. His voice will call out his people. It's the voice of many waters. And then he had in his right hand, verse 16, he had in his right hand seven stars. Well, you say, I know who the seven candlesticks now are. Verse 20 says that's his church. Who are the seven and what are the seven stars? Those are his pastors. Read verse 20, Revelation 1. Tells you the seven candlesticks where he saw the Lord, the Son of God, in the midst of them, and the seven stars in his right hand are his true, called, ordained, sent pastors. And this shows us several things. Number one, they're in his hand. Like stars, they're in his hand. And like stars, they're where he puts them. His hand put them there. And like stars, they only reflect light. They have no light of their own. Stars have no light of their own. They reflect the light of the sun. And even so, these true preachers, they don't have any opinion of their own or revelation of their own. They just reflect the message and the love and the grace and the gospel of their Lord gives them. And they're in his hand. Which hand? His right hand. What is the right hand? Authority and approval. When our Lord sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, he sat down in the place of authority and approval, acceptance. And his stars are in his right hand. And out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Paint that for me. What is that? That's his word. That's his word. It cuts away our sin and our righteousness, circumcises our heart, and slays his enemy. His word is his power. The power of God is the word of God. God spake and everything was created. God will speak and everything will be destroyed. Sharp, two-edged sword. Cuts both ways. And then John said in verse 16, and watch this now. And I believe if any single verse of Scripture will cause you to see what I'm saying, this one will do it. In the first place, these portraits and these pictures, and they're idols, and they're dishonoring to Christ, and they do not reveal his true character and glory. They're dishonoring to it. No way you can put on canvas or paper or statue the glory of our Lord. Now listen to this. Listen. And his countenance, what is his countenance? Well, you're looking at my countenance now. My face, my countenance, you're looking at it, you're seeing it, aren't you? Of course you are. Well, his countenance, when I looked into his face, his countenance was as the sun in its full strength. So glorious, so magnificent. Think of this. His countenance, his face When I looked upon him, it was like looking into the sun in its full strength. You can't look upon the sun, let alone paint it. There's no way you could look upon the sun in its full strength, let alone put it on a piece of paper to show to others. It's blinding. It's so magnificent, the brightness of his glory. And John said, what happened to you then, John? I turned and I saw the voice that spake to me, and he described him. And he said, when I looked into his face, his countenance, it was like looking at the sun in its full strength, and I fell at his feet as a dead man. As a dead man. Now, if anybody could ever make a statue likened to the risen, glorified Christ, or a picture, anyone who looked at it would fall as a dead man. Well, thank God, something else happened. He laid his hand on me. Here's the tender, compassionate, merciful Lord, our Redeemer. He laid his hand on John, and he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am the first, and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. My friends, this is our Lord. This is a portrait of Christ Jesus. This is a revelation of the Son of God directly from his word as he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. And this is the portrait of Christ. Now, I have this message on a tape, along with a message that I'm going to bring next week on a portrait of his church, a portrait of Christ, a portrait of his church. If you want it, send $2. Now, let me say this. If you don't have the money, write for the tape. We'll send it to you. I want you to have it. We'll be glad to send it. If you want it, send for it. But if you have $2, send that, and we'll appreciate it. Here's the address now. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.